Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to Geek Watch 1. And we got to figure out how to do this again. It's weird to take more than just a quick break 1 week off. And our worlds have all flipped upside down in this time. It's been weird.
It's like a big vacation time, and all of a sudden, it's like, wait, there's changes.
Yes. Yes. So anybody who wants to know about those changes, most of you are following me on Facebook, so you'll see myself or Vicky, and you'll see what those changes were. We don't need to jump on them on here.
Or you can message us privately. We'll tell you everything.
Exactly. Hey, you can send an email to Miss Dawn.
You can.
She wants emails.
I will reply, whether you like it or not.
So it's been 2 weeks. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
We're good. It's nice that the weather's gone from winter to extreme summer in the span of 2 weeks.
Welcome to Ohio.
No kidding. We actually we've got basically August temperatures right now, so we're kind of waiting for June to show up.
Right. Last week we were October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It was cool and rainy, and now.
No, not last week. That was the beginning of this week.
That's right.
It was cold and rainy all the way up through like half of Thursday. And then Thursday, the temperature started going up. Friday, it's sunny and 82.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, I was smoking. I was doing a brisket, and it was like almost not quite sweatshirt temperatures, but
it was cool out.
It was cool out.
Memorial Day weekend was cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was nice, actually.
Right.
We were disappointed because all the rainy came in on Wednesday of this week for us.
Just sad.
And we were supposed to be taking Cassie down to the Rubber Duckies to see the ball game. That was their first of their two Bark at the Park events.
Yeah.
They got rained out.
Yeah, we pulled into the parking lot to pay for a parking ticket, to park, and the guy's like, it's been canceled.
It was still on when we left the house. 10 minutes later when we got to the ballpark, the guy's like, hey, it's canceled. Go on home.
Oh, jeez. Right.
It wasn't even raining at that point.
It was sprinkling a little bit.
Well, yeah, but, if they have any chance of storms, they can't have the players out there, so.
Yeah. Ah, well. We will get her there later in August.
That's right.
Yeah, baseball isn't known for getting muddy.
No.
Well, it's not the muddy, it's the possible lightning. That's why they always cancel the game.
There's that, too.
They play in rain sometimes.
Right.
Also, the way you're the running the bases and stuff, you slip and you break an ankle.
Get paid for it.
Yeah.
Minor league, they've got some good money there.
I hooked a base when I was I played intramural softball, and I remember hooking first base. Oh my God. Like I was sliding into first.
Why were you sliding into first base? Wait. Why were you sliding into first base?
Well, it depends how you hit the ball and if it's coming at you.
Yeah, I hit the ball. And it hit the ground and rolled right up to the pitcher. So I'm trying to beat the pitcher. So I'm running and I'm sliding into first. Actually, I made it before the pitcher.
But you did the bad thing and slid foot first.
Yeah, I slid foot
you
first.
You didn't slide head first.
Right.
See, that was your problem there. You got to slide head first. That's why the helmet's on.
I slid foot first and then my foot caught the base and I flipped over. I flipped over and landed on the other side. That was it. My season was done.
So did no one ever tell you that it's actually faster to run to first base? Because you could run past the bag. You don't have to stop on first base. You could run at full speed. As long as you touch that bag, you're good.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. This was young, skinny Kylan, and it was a good idea.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea at the time. I'm just trying to get... Hey,
By the way, did you make it?
I made it.
Okay. See, that was the important part. He did make it.
I made it.
Hey, and you gave everybody a funny moment to remember.
There you go.
No, actually, I was the hero. The girls loved it. So it was totally worth it.
There you go.
Well,
there
you go. Vicky said one of the other problems, though, with rainy games is for the fans, all the ramps to the seats and stuff are all concrete. It gets kind of slick when it gets wet.
Yep. Very true.
So we'll go out later this year. Nice thing is, front row tickets for the Rubber Ducks in Akron is like $15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, actually, I have found that the minor league games are a lot more entertaining than the major league games. Because they usually go faster, and a lot of times between innings, they've got things going on. With either the mascots or giveaways or games with the kids or something, whereas they don't do that in the major leagues, and you just have to sit and suffer.
No.
Well, the cool thing with the minor leagues, they, for people who don't watch right away, a lot of times they'll test out rules that they're thinking about putting into the majors. Yep. Like, there's actually a pitch clock in minor league baseball where you have a certain amount of time to pitch. You can't just sit there forever waiting.
Yeah.
In major league, you don't have that. The pitcher can stand on the mound forever.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with Major League, when especially if there's one of those thing where someone's trying to steal a base and the pitcher is watching them and throwing to the base and stuff back and forth, they can do that forever in the major leagues.
That's true.
And that just gets annoying. Minor leagues, they're not allowed to do that.
Well, also, the batter and the pitcher both realize that the longer they stand there and wait, the more that camera's on them.
Right.
There is an element of that to it.
Exactly. It's like, come on. Mm-hmm. But so, well, actually, Kylan got out yesterday. Well, Saturday.
Yeah. So our friend Robert was
Rob Turk.
Okay.
So he was doing a new campaign and trying out some tweaks for Gablonia. Which is his RPG.
Yeah.
And so we a group of us got together yesterday and got to play it, play test it for him. Because he'd been play testing it over the year with other people virtually. So this was his first time actually doing it in person.
Yeah, he drove up to Akron and it was all at the Outpost.
Yeah, cool. It was a good time. Actually, it was because it was a whole heist. And so by the time I got there, some of the people already picked their characters. I only was like maybe a couple minutes late, but most people picked their characters. The perfect character is waiting on me.
What?
Basically, he was a hitter. I named him.
You got to fight.
Yeah, I named him Elliot Tenpence. Like Elliot Spencer.
I know Elliot from Leverage.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was awesome.
And as with the majority of Rob's games, it uses card game logistics.
Right.
Like this one, Kylan took a pack of cards. Everyone needed a deck of cards, and it was you said it was like basically like poker.
Kind of, sort of, but it was more one pair. It was like one pair, three of a kind, four of a kind.
Simple poker hands.
Yeah, simple poker hands. And I think it was like flush and then royal flush.
Because one of his other games does 20, like does blackjack.
Yeah, like blackjack rules.
His other ones do blackjack.
Yeah, like his horror one, which one was it? The Horror House,
Purgatory House,
and then Starship Infernum.
Yeah,
did like the blackjack one. So yeah.
So it's good because you can go into it. You know, you want to play this kind of game, and if you have a bit of a background in card games, it's easier to figure out the rules going in. So it's kind of a brilliant way to create games around that.
It is, and he's actually I've been messaging with him this morning, and so he's actually kind of. Something that he said that he's run into is poker confusion. Right. And I'll admit, because there was one point where I had a full house. And I thought, oh, I got a full house. That's better than two pair. And no, there was no...
You can't use a full house.
Right.
Yeah,
and really, two pair wasn't even a thing. It's either two, three, or four of a kind.
Okay.
So I'm like, so he's actually making some tweaks.
Some of the rules, but some of the rules, just a matter of figuring it out.
That's if nothing else, that could just be a reference card that sits there that says the ranks what hands you have.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, which he does that on the sheet. That's something else that he did. It's like make it a one sheet so that your stats are on the front, the rules are on the back, and then there are actually like two sheets, and there's a second sheet with some additional information. He likes doing the pick-up game type party thing, and this is right in that vein, and it works. It's good, so.
And it's a good way to teach your kids how to gamble if they can kind of get some of the rules of his games,
right?
Then you can just modify them and go, hey, this is how you play poker.
Exactly.
But hey, you got to see people in person, so there
you did. Yeah, it was a good time.
Well, a quick question: Did he nail the feel of being in Gander Snitch's world?
Well, see, here's the thing. it's not Gandersnitch's. This isn't Gandersnitch's world.
Like, yeah, but isn't this supposed to be where he's from?
It's Goblonia, though.
It's Goblonia, but like you know how Gandersnitch.
It's where he's from, but it's not Gandersnitch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So the game is think of it as almost 80s action over the top. So like you kind of got over the top action, but it's still played a little more straight.
Okay.
So you can have a bit of goofiness, but that's not the goal here.
Well, there's kind of a reason why Gandersnitch got kicked out of Goblonia. So, yeah. You know, he's a different version.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little more family friendly.
That depends on the players.
No.
Well, it depends on the players.
Yeah, it depends on the players.
You didn't have any kids present.
No, we didn't.
But he would probably run it with kids, and it would be completely
right. Because like in his world, there's no kid goblins. Goblins are all adults, and so
it's kind of a teen and up kind of game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So
because I know he has that. What is it? Wild Scouts or Weird Scouts?
Weird Scouts.
Got that. That's for kids.
Scouts of the Weird World.
Scouts of the Weird. That one.
Weird Wood.
That's specifically for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
That.
This is more.
Okay.
No. So yeah, and this involves Gitz, which was his like resistance intelligence group team.
Okay.
And so you kind of tie to that, and it's more.
Now, is this a game that's out already or that's coming out?
It's out, but he's making. I think he's updating it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he actually put this one out yet. I think he's still testing this one. It's not gone. He's not done a Kickstarter for this one yet.
Okay.
Oh, no, not yet. No, okay. So he's still.
Yeah, Weird Scouts was the next one, and then this one's after that.
Right.
Right, so.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on it and let you guys know if he goes to Kickstarter.
The cool thing with his, if you guys look up Wicked Clever Games, that's all of Rob Turk's gaming company.
Yeah.
But all of the game systems use stuff you already have around the house. You don't have to go out. If you're not a gamer normally, you don't have to go out and buy a pack of polyhedral dice and have all the different sizes and know which die does what and all this stuff. No. His first one was, I'm drawing a blank.
Are you mental?
Are you mental? Yeah, Are You Mental used every dice you have in your house.
Right.
It didn't matter if they match or anything else. You get every board game you have and pull all the dice out of it, and that's what you use. So it could be six-sided, it could be multi-sided, it could be whatever you want, and that's what you used. Then, like you said, Purgatory House and Starship Infernum use a deck of cards, and it's a communal deck for that one, isn't it?
No.
Everybody
had their own deck.
Okay. But it's, once again, you're basically using the general rules of blackjack to play it.
I stand corrected. The Game Master had the one deck.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Game Master had deck.
But it's something you have in your house. Everyone has a stray deck of cards, even if you're not into gaming all that much.
Right.
Everyone has a deck of cards, even if it's, whether it's hidden in a drawer or it's in your bag for outings or camping or whatever, you've got a stray deck of cards somewhere.
Or even if you don't, you can go to the convenience store.
You can go to the dollar store and get a deck of cards.
I used a deck of cards that I had bought like 4 or 5 years ago. I never actually played with the deck until yesterday. I bought it for like a couple of bucks. It was Ships of the Line from Star Trek.
Oh, I've seen that deck.
A geek deck of cards.
Yeah.
But we have a drawer full of decks of cards traveling and geek stuff.
The nice thing with it, like I said, the nice thing about Wicked Clever Games is you buy the rule book, that's all you need.
Yep.
Right.
You can sit down and play. And most of them, all ages can understand the game. And like I said, depending on the players is what you put your age level at.
Right. And Rob is a fantastic storyteller. Like a lot of the people we know who make RPGs, great storyteller. So, you know, if you're getting his RPG style games and that, the setting is really, you know, well described and things are really told well just in the main descriptions to get you started.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that helps.
That's awesome.
And then of course we've all been catching up on things this week. Things like MODOK and
the end of Black Lightning.
That's right. Black Lightning ended.
Yeah. We have barely even started this year's CW stuff.
And we're up to date on Legends, and we watched through the end of Black Lightning, which was an interesting finale.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course we also watched Army of the Dead because that was another big movie to hit
We did see that one.
And so we're going to talk about MODOK and Army of the Dead in just a bit. But I also wanted to mention this past week, for anyone who has Sirius Radio, Marvel started a new fiction podcast. And it's actually going to be a series of podcasts, and I have a bit of news on it. But the one they started this last week, with Wastelander's Old Man Star-Lord, they released the first two episodes. And it's like 30 years or so in the future, almost post-apocalypse kind of thing, where some villains have taken over areas of the U.S. And this one obviously focuses on Star-Lord. It has Star-Lord and Rocket as the main Guardians characters. I enjoyed it. I don't listen really to many fictional podcasts, but I like the Guardians of the Galaxy crew. So, and I know the ones that are coming up that it'll have similar storylines. So,
see, now that makes me want to go and read all the Old Man
stuff.
Because I believe there's three right now. There's Old Man Wolverine or Old Man Logan. Old Man Logan, Old Man Hawkeye.
I don't know if they have an Old Man Star-Lord out. Or if they just started it.
Let me check.
But this may be
their Old Man Star-Lord, so they don't have to do a natural comic.
Exactly. And the other Marvel-related thing from this past week, for those, you know, under a rock, Avengers Campus opened in California, and there are videos of the opening ceremony. It just happened, was it Thursday night? Wednesday night. So the live ceremony you could watch was, of course, like 8 p.m. California time. So it was 11 p.m. our time, so I didn't stay up to watch it. It was after the fact. But it was a cool opening ceremony. They had Kevin Feige there. They had the CEO of Disney there. They had Paul Rudd showed up. Anthony Mackie showed up and introduced the current Captain America, who will be walking around the park. They had all the Avengers characters there for the park, which includes heroes and villains. They showed some behind-the-scenes stuff on, like, the web-slinger ride that you do with Spidey, where you actually, it's motion sensor, and you actually sling webs to hit things.
And you can actually buy web-slingers in the store.
In the park, yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a total shut-up-and-take-my-money situation.
I think all those stores there, that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna...
created extra budget just for the stores in that section of the park.
Like, if you go there's a link where you can actually look as what is in the store. Mm-hmm. Oh my!
But you see,
I got goosebumps just thinking about
Disney
it.
Disney was thoughtful and was thinking of Kylan by putting this all the way out in California. That way, it makes it much harder to get there. I mean, you can still do it, but you got to think about it a lot more if you're flying to California compared to Florida.
Well, the thing is, right now, you can't because the parks are only open to residents, both in California and Florida.
Right.
So we can't even go.
No.
The other thing they have there is the Pym Test Kitchen. So, of course, both the opening ceremony and additional videos have shown the food that they sell in the test kitchen, which includes, because it's Pym, it's either too small or too big. So they have, like, a soft pretzel bigger than your head. And they have like a chicken sandwich where the bun is basically the size of a slider, but the piece of chicken is as big as a dinner plate.
Please tell me they have mini corn dogs.
No, that's too easy. they have for dessert, one of the things they have is this gigantic chocolate bar that apparently started out snack size because they have this mini wrapper around the middle. they have all sorts of great stuff, and they also have adult beverages, which have some amazing concoctions involved. And one of the for everybody drinks, I can't think of the name of it. It's like Pingo or something like that. It's actually a drink that references the Incredible Hulk's time in South America.
Yeah.
And like that's an Easter egg right there. But the drink itself is a mix of lemon, lime, and vanilla. And people have said it actually kind of tastes like cotton candy when they taste it.
Yeah, that was the drink that was I think some gamma radiation had spilled into the drink. Remember
something
in the movie?
Like that, yeah.
And so like the entire, like it infected a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah. So you can actually get that drink.
Yeah.
You can also get a large Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet hand to hold your drinks.
Oh
yeah, they teased that a year ago when they were designing it.
Yeah, Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, but there's a lot of cool stuff. And like I said, the videos are out there. You can get like the official opening ceremony video on YouTube. There's also behind the scenes stuff. And the D23 podcast did a video where they're interviewing people and they're taste testing some of the food as well, including the shawarma at the Shawarma Palace cart, which references back to like one of the original Avengers movies where they're exhausted and eating shawarma at the end. That was at the Shawarma Palace.
That's probably the most relatable scene in any Marvel
from anyone
movie.
Who's gone to a con or anything.
Yeah, I'm like, like that scene right there, I'm like,
where they're all just sitting around, no one's talking.
Nobody's talking, you just...
Yeah.
I'm like, that was probably the most true scene ever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's out there if you're interested in that.
Oh, cool. Old Man Quill is the comic suit.
Oh, that's what they
called
it, Quill.
Yeah, Old Man
okay.
Quill, so... Okay. Yeah.
But there you go. That happened this week.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
by the time you guys get this, it may be over. What? But the 80s Action Heroes event that was in Call of Duty, where they brought in Rambo and John McClane, and they had Nakatomi Tower in the center of Verdansk, which is the war zone play area. They also had Vietnam prison camp that was like on the outskirts of the city, along with the CIA remote base and all that stuff. So all of that's about to wind down, but I have to admit that was a shut up and take my money situation.
And amazingly, he went for Rambo instead of John McClane.
I did. Wow. There was more. Honestly, if I had to choose between the two, I was looking at which one would I get more out of. I had more game specific stuff to do with Rambo than I did with John McClane.
So, Kylan, when they have the load screen, you're getting ready to load into the game. Did they give you the montage of Rambo getting ready?
You know what? You do get it when you first get the character.
You get the headband moment.
You get the headband
the tying the boots, the putting the knife in the belt.
And the funny thing is, while it's loading for him to do this multiplayer stuff, they're in a winter setting, but Rambo's walking through it shirtless.
And
of course.
He's got frost on his chest as he's walking. I'm just like...
Yeah, and you can see his breath.
Yeah, you can see his breath and everything.
It's ridiculous.
And, but yeah, and there's some character-specific quotes depending on what's going on. Like, there's some people who actually had John McClane. If you play, if they're on your team, you can hear some of the things that they say. And I'll admit, I think I feel more comfortable. I'm glad that I got John McClane. I mean, I got Rambo over John McClane, but I did get into Nakatomi Tower.
Yeah. See, it doesn't matter who you chose. You can still get into the location.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
oh.
You get into the empty room where the party was. There's a Christmas tree and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a Christmas tree. And there's an actual vault that if your squad is able to break into the vault, there's some really sweet stuff that you get. I have yet, my team, the teams I've played with, we have not been able to make it into the vault. But, you know.
Goals.
But the thing is, it's about to end soon, so... I'm
you
not
might
gonna
make
be,
it or you might not. You
might not. I don't know. But still wholesale violence, so there's that.
Yeah. All the Johns get to play.
Yeah.
John Rambo, right. John McClane.
And you know, wait, and John Matrix, which was in a Commando. What was up with all the action heroes named John?
Because it was relatable.
Could it be the fact that John is one of the most common names in America?
Yeah, everyone knows a John.
Well, that's true.
At least one.
That's true. Well, at least Riggs wasn't John. I'm glad you didn't get John Riggs. You got Martin Riggs, which I kind of like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We should move on to some news.
Yeah, we should.
But we're having so much fun here.
Right.
Hey, it's been a while since we've been able to just sit back and just go off.
That's true. That is true. Now, since we've been off for a couple of weeks, during that time, a bunch of trailers dropped, so we're not going to talk about the trailers. I'm just going to mention them briefly. By now, you should know that there's an Eternals trailer out there. And by the time you get to that trailer, it does relate directly to past Marvel movies. We also got another trailer for Jungle Cruise, which is very jungly and has a very... It has a Pirates of the Caribbean feel to it, really, in terms of jungle and adventure and that kind of thing. So that's not surprising, considering it's another Disney ride. We also got the teaser for Cobra Kai Season 4.
Oh!
Which Kylan just fanboyed over.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Well, let's just say it focuses on the villain, and he's another one from the movies.
Well, there's only one left, so I'm assuming which one it is.
Yeah.
No, yeah, really, there's two left.
Well, one's been mentioned already, the other one wasn't.
If you can't breathe, you can't fight. If you can't see, you can't fight.
Yes, you can.
And if you can't stand, you can't fight.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, all three you can't.
Not all three. No, he didn't say, you know, all three maybe not. But,
well, yeah, so.
You know, there's blind fighters out there. So that's
well, there are blind fighters. Daredevil.
Exactly.
So Stick. Master Poe.
Okay.
So sorry. Sorry, Mr. Silver. You were wrong. Terry.
And there's also a trailer out there for an unexpected movie that I did list on our What to Watch in June graphic that I posted at the beginning of the month that a lot of people may not have heard of. It's an animated movie coming to Netflix called America the Movie. And it's interesting. George Washington is voiced by Kylan's favorite, Channing Tatum. even the trailer is red band. There's F-bombs. It's like as if the Revolution were an 80s action movie. That's basically what you're looking at.
So does it have the feel like it was written by the same people who wrote Team America World Police?
Not as dopey as that movie.
Okay.
But crazy action-y characters you don't expect.
So I'm gonna have to wear my G.I. George shirt while I'm watching
this.
Okay. Yes.
It's something. It comes out right at the end of the month, but the trailer's out there now, so the movie's coming out just in time for Independence Day. Just so you know.
And I'm willing to pretend that the actor who voiced George Washington is, in Kylan's world, unknown and uncredited.
He's an unknown actor.
Hey, the best part is we get Duke playing George Washington.
No, we don't.
No. The best part is you don't actually have to see him.
There you go. There you
That's
go.
That's the best part.
Yes.
It's animated. It doesn't look anything like him. That's the best part.
I want to know if George Washington gets a dance sequence.
I'm not going to say anything about what's in the trailer.
George Washington doesn't dance.
I might. Okay. I think I'll probably have by the time this posts, I'll probably have the trailer posted on our page on Facebook just because.
I'm going to have to watch a trailer now.
Anyway, more news.
More news.
Movie that just came out that I know I have not had a chance to see yet, Quiet Place 2. We have actually found out that A Quiet Place is becoming a cinematic universe.
Oh.
Paramount Pictures has given the green light to a spin-off set in the same world around the same time. There's no title or plot details, but they are looking at a 2022 release. Now, if you think about it, there's a lot of practical effects in this movie, aside from, obviously, the aliens.
Right.
So the first one only cost them $17 million. Budget-wise.
Right.
It was basically an independent film.
They could lay off the sound crew. They didn't need them.
Right, exactly. There's no sound crew needed. And yeah, because there's probably like 10 lines in the movie. But it grossed $50 million in the U.S., but $340 million worldwide. It was really a huge moneymaker. And it had the biggest opening weekend for an original horror film. The second one, which, like I said, has just opened, already has opened with $57 million domestically. So it's already blasted the first one out of the water just with the opening. Mm-hmm. So as more news comes, we'll see what happens. But there's a universe now. As you know, anything that's popular gets its own universe.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of universes, are we going to mention Mr. Wick?
Mr. Wick? Yeah. Why are we mentioning Mr. Wick?
Because Donnie Yen is going to be in John Wick 4.
Yeah.
Donnie Yen is like, his geek cred each year like grows exponentially. I'm like, I didn't know if it was possible to put even more wholesale violence into the John Wick series. Because after watching number 3, I'm like, if you kept it at this level, I'm happy. But no, we're going to bring in Donnie Yen.
Uh-huh.
So, and I think Donnie Yen is actually a nemesis, because that's a word, to John Wick.
Uh-huh.
So.
That's going to be interesting.
Whoo! My goodness. I can't wait. And I'm on countdown for the prequel series. Maybe that's going to be just after 4.
We don't have. I don't think we have dates for either of them yet. I don't think they've. Because, I mean, obviously, they haven't even started filming the fourth one yet.
Right.
So we don't have dates for prequel or for the fourth movie. So we're waiting on both. We'll have to see.
So
in the next couple years. Because really, that's the majority of John Wick is practical. There's no. There may be some CGI in terms of some of the shots, like some of the actual gunfighting and that kind of thing. There may be a bit of CGI, but for the most part, it's a very practical effects, practical stunts kind of series.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so what you're going to have to do is watch 1 through 3 and eat your vegetables, eat your vitamins, and go find the trade of the John Wick prequel. And write a report.
Or not.
And if you do this, email it. Geekwatch1@gmail.com.
I want to see a report. I
want Kylan will grade them for you.
Yes. We want to know the person who does this. We want this to happen.
Actually, you know what? I will bring you on the show so you could defend your report to me. I would do that.
It'll be like a thesis.
It'll be a thesis. Because you know how I am about action. Like, I'm serious when it comes to action.
That's true.
So if you think that you feel comfortable with your level of knowledge that you can write a thesis about John Wick, please do and let me know. I'm totally down for this. I really am.
Are we done now?
I'm never done. But I'm gonna take a break.
Moving on. We got some fantastic news when the CW talked about a lot of its fall stuff recently. The great news is we found out that something is coming our way called Bebo Saves Christmas.
What? I missed that.
We get the return of our fantastic little blue buddy. And it's a 1-hour animated special. And it will see the return of Legends of Tomorrow's alum, Victor Garber, as the narrator. And it's about, so here's the plot. When Sprinkles, an efficiency-obsessed elf, decides that Christmas would run better without Santa, Bebo and his friends travel to the North Pole to help discover what truly makes Christmas meaningful. There's going to be violence. It's Bebo.
There's going to be... Bebo is going to do an elbow drop. Because, I mean, doesn't Bebo do an elbow drop every time?
Well, that's when he was big and they made him do it. Well, remember the team did it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, right.
They did the elbow drop and the big blue poof. Now, other voice talent involved includes Yvette Nicole Brown, Chris Kattan, and Ernie Hudson as the voice of Santa.
Awesome.
So we got some good talent here.
So we've met Santa?
Yeah, we've met Santa. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So there's no specific dates, but obviously Bebo Saves Christmas is going to be on the CW late this year. So look for it sometime after Thanksgiving.
Hopefully that means they're finally going to put out some Bebo merch. Because I'm seeing all kinds of merch online, but it's nothing's actually licensed Bebo merch.
Right.
We need, if nothing else, a Tickle Me Bebo.
Oh, good Lord. Well, or at least something that, you know, you can press the button and he talks or whatever. That would be good.
I don't even think there's a pop vinyl, is there?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think there
is. No, should be.
And in more animated news, there's going to be a new Teen Titans Go movie. It's called Teen Titans Go See Space Jam. It'll be airing on June 20th at 6 p.m. and probably many days and times after that, given that it's Cartoon Network.
Right.
And it'll feature the Teen Titans crossing paths with Space Jam's villainous Nerdlux ahead of the release of course, Space Jam A New Legacy in mid-July. So basically, it comes down to Cyborg being astonished that his fellow Titans have never seen Space Jam. And so he organizes a watch party.
Oh, no.
And Raven and Starfire provide a lot of the commentary. And Cyborg presents fun facts, while Beast Boy points out butt shots. And Robin doesn't trust the new alien friends. So so basically, you're going to get like an MST3000 kind of thing, where you're going to be showing the movie, but you're going to have the Titans there giving you the commentary along the way that's going to make very little sense, probably. but honestly, this is kind of a brilliant move, considering most of the watching audience of Teen Titans Go is kids.
Right. Yeah.
And they were not around when the original Space Jam came out.
Although, so you'll I did see it last week. I actually sat down and watched it last week.
I have to admit, I have no interest in Space Jam, so I haven't seen it.
See, I never even seen the first one. It wasn't even on my radar.
But if you think about it, you're going to have all these kids watching Teen Titans Go see Space Jam, and then they're going to be like, oh, I want to see this new one now. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just a money-making opportunity for them.
Well, you know.
Nothing wrong with that. Do what you do. And like I mentioned earlier, I had some news about the Marvel Wastelanders podcast. So the one that I just listened to the first couple episodes of, Old Man Star-Lord, I don't think I mentioned that Peter Quill is voiced by Timothy Busfield and Rocket is voiced by Chris Elliott. So in case you wondered what they were up to lately. so basically, they're looking for an ancient relic and they have collars on their necks thanks to the collector. And if they don't find the relic in a certain amount of time, the collars will behead them. Interestingly, along the way, this has not happened in the first couple episodes, they're going to come across Emma Frost, who is voiced by Vanessa Williams, and they're also going to come across Outlaw Ghost Riders, Kraven the Hunter, and they have a local with them who is voiced by Danny Glover. So there's amazing voice talent in this.
Right.
And part of why I made this the news was because they released updates about the next ones that are coming. And Stephen Lang has been cast to play Clint Barton in Wastelander's Old Man Hawkeye. And Susan Sarandon will be playing Natasha Romanoff in Wastelander's Grey Widow. Those are coming up after Star-Lord. Actually, the Hawkeye one is supposed to come up basically right after the Star-Lord one ends. And I think they're doing an episode a week. So that'll be happening. They don't have a date for Grey Widow yet, but it'll show up after. So it is a continuing kind of thing. So I think that's one of the reasons I started listening to this first one, because it'll give you details that'll help if you're listening to the ones after it, because it's all Wastelanders.
Right.
So now I have some gaming news, which people may enjoy. Those who are into board games, there is a 3D edition of Catan coming. So if you're into what used to be called Settlers of Catan, now just called Catan, you can get all these 3D pieces. It comes with 19 hand-painted 3D terrain hex tiles, 6 hand-painted sea frames, 9 harbor markers, 18 glossy number tokens, 4 sets of 3D player pieces in 4 colors, all this other kind of stuff, rule book, all that kind of stuff. But it's all hand-painted, handmade, and of course, there's a price that goes along with it, $300. So you better be a big fan. you can pre-order it on CatanShop.com, and it's set to ship in August. The other gaming news I have is another big one that's on Kickstarter right now that is ending this Friday, June 11th. Fans of The Witcher can now have an RPG to play. It's called The Witcher Old World, and it's a new game from the company Go On Board. It's set a few years before Geralt's time, the one who we see in the Netflix show. And it has up to 5 players traveling a huge overworld, taking on contracts, fighting monsters, and sometimes each other. There's also a single player or co-op expansion where you can all team up. There's apparently a strong deck-building element because you customize cards that you then use to battle. And, of course, a lot of detailed plastic miniatures for both the Witcher characters and the monsters that are in the game.
Cool.
It's scheduled to ship in about a year's time, July 2022. The cheapest bundle available is about $85 US. The company's actually in Europe, So you're looking at spending an additional $25 or so for shipping. They actually posted the approximate shipping prices as well. So $85 plus $25 shipping is something to keep in mind if you're looking for this.
Right.
Now, at the time of recording, they have raised more than $5 million and surpassed 60 stretch goals. So you are getting, so much like the Marvel games that we've supported, you're getting a crap load of stuff. Their original goal was $300,000. They've made more than $5 million. So I'll include the link in our notes in case you want to get in on this, because like I said, there's going to be a couple days left by the time we post this. So yeah, The Witcher Old World.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we get to do quick takes on MODOK and Army of the Dead.
Okay.
They only require quick takes, though. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Army of the Dead. I think we should start with Army of the Dead because I actually have a little news to add to that. That's why I left it.
My quick take on Army of the Dead, that was one of the most fun zombie movies I've seen in a long time.
It was pretty good. Yeah. It was. It could have been about a half hour shorter. They definitely could have tightened it up.
Right.
But it was good, and it wasn't interesting. Interestingly, it wasn't as like gory and bloody and over the top as most zombie movies are.
Right. There's actually very little actual gore and blood officially in it.
Yeah, right. And I mean, it was because it really did focus on the group going in for the heist.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
And a lot of the blood and stuff was at the very beginning during the opening credits.
Right.
Yeah, it was like a Mission Impossible style heist movie that just happened to be in a world of zombies.
Exactly. And you saw the masses of zombies, and you saw that. I think it was just like a weird plot point to have this super zombie who got this other zombie pregnant. That was just weird.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a setup for another movie or something.
But the thing is well, did he get her pregnant or was she already pregnant and then got turned?
Yeah, there's your point. There's your question from Vicky. Do you catch that?
What? Yeah, she was already pregnant.
Yeah, did he get her pregnant or was she pregnant when he turned her?
Right, right.
And did the baby live?
I mean, it was kind of like unexplained and just left that way, but it gave a reason for him to be connected to her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, they also, they did tease it throughout the whole thing that there was something special about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was
so it wasn't totally out of left field.
Right. No, it wasn't. It was almost like, you know, explain yourself, damn it.
Right.
It's Zack Snyder. You think he's going to?
I know, right? Well, actually, he'll over-explain himself. That was why it's wrong.
The one great thing about this movie, it's Zack Snyder, but he actually figured out where the light switch was.
Yes, there was daylight.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of daylight in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of had to have the daylight because you don't want to go into the zombies in the dark.
No,
But the one thing I liked, and Zack Snyder has hinted that it's actually a possibility. I liked the time loop theory they brought up. And Zack Snyder has actually said, you know, he's basically vaguely said, I don't know, it could happen. So I like the idea that they're caught in a time loop, and maybe this is the time that one of them actually made it out.
Right.
And that's how you know about it.
Right.
Versus maybe it's not the time one of them made it out, because we know what happened to him at the end.
Right.
But, you know, some of the money actually made it out for once.
Mm-hmm.
But so I kind of like that theory. But interestingly, Netflix doesn't always give numbers. They did announce 1 week after release, Army of the Dead had been watched by 72 million households around the world.
Wow.
Wow.
It was like on track to be like their biggest watch ever. So, but interestingly, when you said, you know, setting up another movie, they are actually already developing Army of the Dead Lost Vegas, which is an anime spin-off prequel series about the fall of Vegas.
Okay.
And you'll see much of the core cast returning because it gives you the background on a lot of them. It's showing you when things first happened and Vegas was first starting to fall, what they were doing, how they helped save a lot of people. And apparently it'll also dive into the source of the outbreak and how the intelligent zombie, apparently his name is Zeus.
Yes.
How he actually came to be in the first place. So it'll actually answer some questions.
Okay.
You don't always get, because you really didn't get why the zombie thing happened.
Well, yeah.
Super soldier gone wrong.
Yeah, that's what Vicky was thinking, super soldier thing.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, when they were driving at the very beginning, they were essentially talking about leaving Area 51.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's also the possibility that this didn't happen on Earth. It might not be Super Soldier. It might be something else.
Right. Yeah. That was kind of cool, though, that they start the movie with Patient Zero. And then they jump ahead to after it's all gone down.
Right, right. That was a good way to do it, too, just to let you know, hey, this is what's going on. And the military actually knows about it. And the fact that it stayed contained to Vegas and they were able to actually close them in like that.
Right.
That was kind of a bit of a feat that would be interesting to find out how they did it, which is probably what the anime is going to tell us. So there's no kind of release date on the anime yet. They're working on it, but that is a definite thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it.
And there's another thing too. When the women went in and they found them later on, they were all still alive. I'm curious why they were still alive.
Well, I think probably he intended on impregnating more women. Because they probably impregnate them when they're human.
I mean, that could give away what happened with the one he was with, that she was still human.
Right.
But then there's all the questions about how can he actually impregnate as a zombie and everything's dead, but if
unless he's not what we traditionally consider a zombie. He may be a carrier,
right,
but he never actually died.
Right.
Right.
I mean, because he's got that whole, like, he's a lot more intelligent than a lot of the other ones roaming around.
He might be an alien.
He might be an alien,
a humanoid alien, but his interaction
infecting others makes the human reaction to becoming a zombie.
Yeah.
There's too many theories. This is not known.
So, yeah, I know.
Well, wait and see.
Yeah.
So basically you have a king and queen bee that turned everybody else into drones.
Yeah, basically.
Well, actually it would be like a hive. Yeah, like a drones, because hives have more than just queens and drones. They have a hierarchy of other ones, guards and everything else. Yeah. And
much like a hive.
There was everything from the squishy ones that don't move unless you get them wet.
Yeah.
To the ones that are almost dead. And I like how in this one, because one of the things with zombie movies is like, okay, once everybody's dead, what happens?
Right.
In this one, they actually touched on that. Due to lack of food, they went into hibernation.
Yep.
Right. Well, I mean, in The Walking Dead, they said that eventually they decay to the point that they can't even...
Yeah, because the body will just decay.
Yeah. So, but we don't know how long that... But it varies from franchise to franchise.
But the thing about it, mm-hmm. Las Vegas, it's a dry heat. It'll take a while.
Yeah, it will.
It's not humid.
Right.
Yeah.
More like in Walking Dead, most of what that is Eastern United States.
Yeah, it's very humid and hot, and they're falling apart.
Yeah, so, yeah. And plus, you got winter, and that's an extra that'll wear on them too. So
yeah, they don't worry about that. So there were some interesting ideas in it anyway that weren't normal for zombie movies.
I kind of like the time loop thing. That's definitely an interesting spin.
Yeah.
to the whole zombie.
Well, those dead bodies they found in the vault. Some of them were just a little too specific.
Right.
They had the exact matching necklace that the woman was wearing.
Right.
Like, how do you explain that?
Exactly.
You know? And the map of the vault that they found upstairs before they went down, it was different.
Yes.
But it was there. Like, why would it be there? You know, there was just a lot.
Yeah.
That go away.
Well, the cool thing...
Didn't they say there was another team that went in before them?
That's what it looked like, yeah. Well, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, but that's what it looked like, but that's why they were talking about the time loop, and it was actually them, and then they came back again and again and again.
Well, the cool thing was, watching this, though, you can tell Zack Snyder is a zombie movie fan.
So
Groundhog Day zombie style. Yeah. But a lot of the stuff that people are critical about zombie movies, he touches on in this.
Right.
It gives you an answer for it.
That's true. That is true.
So that'll be fun to see the second one. More weirdness,
We have MODOK, which to begin with is one of the strangest, craziest characters that Marvel's ever had to begin with. And the fact that in the comics and in a lot of the cartoon versions, he's been taken seriously.
Right.
Is even further weird because he shouldn't be taken seriously. He's a giant floating head. He has a body, but still he's a giant floating head.
Right.
Hey, all comic companies have this.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They all have their weird villains that essentially we don't know what people were on when they created them.
Yeah, and right. If you took them out of this universe, they'd be a total laughingstock of everything.
Exactly. And that's what you get with this series. They finally essentially address the ridiculousness of MODOK. But they turn it into like a dramatic family show.
Yeah.
So you have him, you know, doing his supervillain stuff in kind of ridiculous and incredibly inept ways. And
now, how accurate is that to the comic books?
That's not very accurate because he's pretty smart in the comics.
Yeah,
he's... Like they kind of took that in the ridiculous realm.
Right.
But then he leaves work and no one knows where he goes. And he basically has a regular suburban life. He's married. He has a couple kids. One who looks more like the wife and one who is a big-headed child that you don't want to question what happened to that woman when she gave birth.
No, you don't. No.
All you got to say is MODOK is a scientist. He scienced it and figured it out to get it out.
Right. No, that woman suffered like MODOK's mom did.
Mm-hmm.
big-headed child. But, you know, they have kind of everyday life problems in a ridiculous way. The daughter seems to like to solve her problems with violence, much like her dad.
And a manipulation.
And manipulation. Oh, she's good at that. And the son is just a crazy preteen looking forward to his bar mitzvah. The fact that this is a Jewish family kind of adds to some of the humor in what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
They don't make fun of that fact. They make fun of just the overall ridiculousness. I thought it was a good series. It was funny and ridiculous and had a lot of good Marvel inside jokes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of kind of like smart-ass sarcastic little asides about Marvel that were really kind of funny.
But yeah, it's like all through the, because you see Ant-Man's helmet in the background.
Uh-huh.
Obviously there's references to S.H.I.E.L.D. But
some of the comments they make and that they're, you know, they poke fun. So it kind of all fits together. And then of course you have the tech company that's taking over AIM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that created for this or is that from the Marvel Universe?
I think the tech company was created for this because I don't recall it.
No, because although you see Roxxon in there, but Roxxon doesn't have a role.
Right, yeah. Right.
But no, yeah, there's
the tech company itself, there's nothing like that. That was just made for the series. But, you know, having an obnoxious... But you do have the villains behind it.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I wasn't talking about, what is it, Gringle or something like that. It's basically their version of Google.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I'm not talking about that. No, I was talking about the ones behind it, the alien dudes.
The ones behind it aren't they?
Are those from Marvel?
Yeah.
Aren't they like the ones that were used in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, I think they're like the, crap.
Like the Hive or something.
Yeah, kind of like the Hive in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, they're based on that. So it is a thing. They made up certain other ones, like those weird little turtle creatures that party people to death.
Yeah.
Their version of the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
They were disturbingly close to the Ninja Turtles look.
They were. Yeah. They were. They definitely were. Well, I mean, it's difficult to make a turtle standing upright that doesn't look like the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, true.
Well, the worst part is, it's not just party to death. No, later on in the show, MODOK's thing straight up is they will sex you to death.
Yes. That's the very disturbing thing. There's a lot of people having sex with those.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, one of the best things was the villain that trapped them in the arcade.
Oh yeah, arcade. Yes,
that was
a bit of a deep dive.
That was all based on a character. If you look it up, that character looks exactly like he does in the comics.
Yeah.
Big bow tie, bright red hair, everything.
Yeah, arcade is like if you want over the top mind bending wrongness, arcade is somewhere involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was basically appropriate that they stuck him in the show.
Yes.
And the whole, like, murder dome thing, that's his thing.
That murder world.
Murder world. That
is
that's thing.
His thing, yeah.
That became a big thing in the comics a few years back.
Yeah.
So it was actually kind of cool that they brought that in and everything. So there are some deep dives in Marvel Universe type things.
Right.
But overall, it's just kind of a... And it this show will not connect to the MCU in any way.
No.
So if you're not into it, if you don't want to watch the craziness, if you don't want to see an animated version, you're not going to miss out on something that relates to the MCU. So it's not a huge deal if you miss it.
Right.
But quite honestly, the craziness of it, it was just fun.
Well, yes. You never know. With the introduction of the multiverse, this could be part of the...
No, it's not. It's specifically not part of the
MCU.
Yeah,
they already said that it's not.
I mean, Marvel is taking ownership of it. That is them. They're, you know, they approved the jokes. And that's the other thing. Wonder Man.
Yeah, Wonder Man.
It was awesome that Nathan Fillion finally gets to be Wonder Man in some way.
Yeah.
Because James Gunn cast him for Guardians as Wonder Man, and all he ever got was showing up on a couple movie posters.
Right.
So he actually gets to come back and do the voice of the character, even though technically it's not MCU. But at least he's there. And the fact that they had the wife dating him was awesome.
Man, that was... That's totally Wonder Man.
But then you find out she's basically using him because her book was coming out and it's all about publicity.
Hey, he's all heartbroken.
And he's the one that usually uses other people for publicity. So that was fantastic. Honestly, I loved the wife. She didn't take any crap from MODOK.
No.
If it was not going her way, that was it.
Yeah.
She's kicking him out, everything. Doing her own thing, doing her blogs, doing a book, being a mom, just all that. I think that it was nice for a change for them to have characters that weren't just in the background of a main character.
Right.
Like the entire family had roles.
Right.
Even the ridiculousness of once you got to the murder world stuff and you ended up with a second son because they couldn't figure out which one to kill.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing, though, with all this is, like, as ridiculous as MODOK is, in the first half of the season, you see how crazy and it's not unredeemable at all. And see, they actually bring him around to where he's still a villain, and he's still ridiculous, but he has, like, some growth by the end of it.
He does.
He suddenly has a bit of heart at the end, and he still wants to rule the world or his portion of it, but, he's learned.
Yeah,
he actually does have some sort of whatever you call love for him. He has that for his family.
Right. He actually, his family does mean something to him.
Right.
Even though he tends to ignore them a lot of the time.
Yeah.
and we should actually say MODOK is voiced by Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Which is always great to hear him do anyone.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is, but his voice really suits MODOK.
Yeah, it does.
Like, maybe it's because Patton Oswalt is, like, a really short dude. I don't know. But
he kind of looks like MODOK, like his face.
Face, just slightly. Yeah.
Well, considering in, what was it, season or episode 8 or 9, you actually see him in the MODOK suit?
You do?
Yeah.
That was funny with the filter.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. But He's just very well suited to it. And of course, this is like his second foray into the Marvel world because he played the clones in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not the Koenig clones. It's not his first time out with them. So that's kind of cool.
Right.
But there's a lot of great voice acting in general. And you even have, if you ever watched Parks and Recreation and you remember the annoying character of John Ralphio, he's the voice of the son.
Yes.
So, but there's a lot of great voice acting, and there's a lot of cameo voice acting, and I don't know, it was just fun to watch, and it's got violence, but it doesn't, I don't remember there being, like, bad language and stuff, so.
No, not
there's
not,
some, but it's not, it's hard PG-13.
Right, yeah, it's, your teens can definitely watch it, your preteens, but not your little kids, they might, I mean, they probably won't get it anyways, because it's, like, a family show.
Right.
About a show about a family, not a family.
It is exactly what, with Seth Green and those guys making it, it is Robot Chicken's take on the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But with more plot. Robot Chicken tends to not have a lot of plot.
Well, you don't need it because there's just sketches.
You got like maybe 90 seconds, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Robot Chicken's just a sketch comedy. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is like full on series of Robot Chicken.
Right.
But I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was fun. It was enjoyable.
I enjoyed it.
It was a good time.
I'm looking forward to the fact that they apparently are still planning to do Hitmonkey. So
that's
the next animated Marvel thing to look forward to. There's been no updates on it, but they have not canceled it. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
Okay. Well, we do have, Marvel does have other stuff, because when you're listening to this, Loki is out.
Right.
That comes out Wednesday of this week.
Yes, it's on the day we drop, so hopefully you have not missed it, or you're going to do your usual and just catch up on it, whatever, but remember, Wednesdays are the new Fridays, according to Loki.
Now, yeah. Do we know how long the first episode is?
I don't know that they've put that out yet, because they tend to not do it till the day of release.
Okay.
Because I know with WandaVision, they were not releasing them ahead of time.
Right.
All they're saying is vaguely 40 to 50 minutes. So essentially like an hour block is what you're looking at.
Yeah. Now, Loki's going to be weird and unusual, but I don't think it's going to be to the point where WandaVision was. I think it's going to be, episode style-wise, it's going to be closer to what a regular television or Marvel Cinematic episode or movie would be, like more similar style wise to Falcon Winter Soldier, even though you're in the world of Loki.
Well, I don't know that it'll be similar style wise to that. I think you're going to get, like WandaVision, you're going to get an issue of the week. You're not going to get a continuous storyline, because you have to remember this is focused on time travel and Loki going back and forth trying to fix problems and things happening in different timelines. So you're kind of going to get the WandaVision effect of having different times
right. In
every episode. You're going to have different decades, but you're also going to get different realities, because he's going to be going possibly to different universes.
Possibly.
Possibly to different, planets, depending what's going on. It's not necessarily going to all be on Earth.
And they did say that this series is going to have an effect on the MCU as a whole.
Yes. So, well, much like what happened in WandaVision, what happened in Falcon and Winter Soldier, there are effects on the greater universe. It's gonna happen there. So, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, I'm interested in a lot of the Easter eggs with him traveling through time. He may come across other characters from the MCU.
That's true.
There may be a lot of Easter eggs in terms of plot devices, etc., from the movies. So it'll be interesting anyway. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun. Tom Hiddleston playing Loki is all you need.
Yes.
You never know what you're going to get.
Pretty much.
So just in the future, for future episodes, we do. Sweet Tooth did come out this weekend. Vicky and I got a chance to see it. You guys haven't yet, so we're not going to touch much on it. It is an interesting take on a post-apocalyptic style world.
It's a journey movie. Right. It was actually really good.
And don't forget, it is based on a DC comic.
Yes, I didn't realize how old. I thought the comic was new, but no, the series that I was thinking about was Sweet Tooth: The Return, that came out about a year ago.
Right. No. Right. Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, it's been out since 2010. I looked it up because I've actually just started reading it. I'm about four issues in.
Yeah. The one thing they were a little concerned about is the fact that the plot begins with a pandemic, and they were a little concerned about how people might take that right now.
Right.
But I think honestly, pandemic stories are more okay with people now.
Well,
than they would have been if they released it like a year ago.
In the last 6 months, it's weird. Most of the geek stuff has had that in there somewhere, and a lot of it was being done before this happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just happened. It was a weird coincidence of the way nature works.
But I think that's why we've been getting it in the last 4 to 6 months, because they delayed releasing it because they didn't want to release it last year.
Right.
This week as well, Netflix has a movie coming out called Awake, which is also kind of slightly pandemic related. Mm-hmm. It's like people can't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. It's technology and something going on with people in general. And it's a sci-fi movie, but people can't fall asleep. But there's one girl who can sleep. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you can't fall asleep for a certain amount of time, you're going to die.
Yeah.
So that's a movie coming out this week on Netflix, Awake.
And they also have all these things about the longer you stay awake, you start hallucinating, you do all kinds of weird fun stuff.
Yep, exactly. So I watched the trailer for that a while back, and it's kind of both creepy and action-y, and so it looks like it could be interesting. And then, of course, we have Infinite on Paramount Plus with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Who, it's a storyline about kind of about reincarnation. Like, it's an action-y movie, but it's about him having prior lives, and there's something in his current life that triggers him remembering what happened in previous lives.
Okay.
Huh. So that's another one coming out. I'm just kind of mentioning ones that people may not have heard
of. Well, the other one is we got to do a show on later because I just found out. I guess it's now on regular Disney Plus is Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yes, actually, just this week it opened up to everyone on Disney Plus.
So we got to watch that and talk about it a little bit, possibly.
I think it's probably because Cruella finally came out a week or two ago, so that's their premiere access one right now. So they've opened Raya up. So yeah, that's another one we'll have to watch.
Well, maybe that's their new plan is they keep one on premium always, and then whenever the next one opens, you drop the other.
Well, because Black Widow will be the next one on premium. But also in theaters. So expect to see Cruella available to everyone in July.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of a cool plan to have working out.
After that, though, it might not work that way because they are going exclusively to theaters, at least for the Marvel movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. And
I'm not sure about Jungle Cruise, if that's going to... Jungle Cruise is at the end of July, so they wouldn't do it premiere at the same time as Black Widow.
No, they probably wouldn't.
Unless they run two at the same time, which they could.
Yeah. It's more family, technically more of a family movie, I guess.
Right.
But we'll see.
Yep. So anything else before we get ready to wrap this up today?
I think we've covered a hell of a lot today.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened. That's what happens when you take 2 weeks off.
Exactly. And I have to keep track of the news.
So, Geeksters, what did you do for the last 2 weeks? How did your lives have go bananas or not? Because summer started while we were gone. Let us know.
That's right.
Let us know. You can email us, www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media, we are GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar and don't find us, let us know and Miss Dawn will take care of the problem.
And happy Pride, by the way.
Exactly. Also, you can email us. I got thrown off. Email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We are proud members of the Tangent Bound Network and the Weebie Geeks Podcast Collective at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebiegeekspc.com. And also, you've not heard about him in a couple weeks, but our buddy Charlie Murphy's still out there with the Akron Pickle and Stray Dog and all of his wonderful, wonderful sauces. So have you seen the new van since he's got it finally outfitted?
I've seen pictures of it. I haven't seen it in person yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in person.
It is awesome. When he opens it up, he takes the grill, hangs out the backside of the van.
Yep.
Right.
You will notice it, people. You will see it.
If you get a chance.
All the yummies.
If you get a chance, find the Stray Dog van. It's amazing. But you can find him at Stray Dog Akron or Cafe 388 or even just the Akron Pickle. So, other than that, for Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember.
No matter where you go, there you are.